listening to the Potato Podcast, presented by Columbia Media Group. You can listen to past episodes on thepotatopodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you enjoy the episode, be sure to give us a like and leave a review. This episode is sponsored by Syngenta Elatus.
Protect the perimeter of your potato crop with Elatus fungicide from Syngenta. When applied in furrow at planting, Elatus controls Rhizoctonia and suppresses verticillium wilt, giving your potatoes long-lasting protection during early development. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer about Elatus.
Always read and follow label instructions. Please check with your local extension service to ensure registration status. Syngenta supports a FIFRA 2EE recommendation for suppression of verticillium wilt on potatoes in certain states.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining the Potato Podcast. Today, we have Rick Knowles on the phone. He is a professor with the Department of Horticulture at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington. Hello, Rick. How are you doing today?
Great. Glad to be here, Dave.
Well, and thank you for joining us. We are going to be discussing harvest timing and also a little bit about storage and some storage tips when you actually get spuds into the shed. So let's jump right in here. Tell me some things I need to know about harvest timing and when is the right time to actually dig?
Well, that's a really good question. Of course, a lot of that is going to depend upon the destination of the crop and the type of crop that you're producing, be it seed potatoes or processing potatoes. But in general, you know, at this time of the year, we're talking about frozen processing potatoes destined for storage. And so, you know, harvest should really begin early enough to be completed before a hard frost is likely. And conventional wisdom would advise that potatoes destined for long-term storage should not be harvested until the vines have been dead for about 10 to 14 days. Of course, this allows for full skin set. However, here in the Columbia Basin, some growers are practicing a partial green vine harvest where, depending upon the variety, you might have 10 to 40% green vines still present in the field. Our research has shown that one of the most important criteria that I think people overlook a little bit for determining when to harvest is tuber physiological maturity. And we've shown that for late season russets destined to full season storage, the best time to harvest is within about 10 to 18, maybe 20 days after the tubers achieve physiological maturity. And we refer to it as physiological maturity. It's a lot of it is chemical maturity as well. And most of the tubers at that point then would have set their skins, even though you still got some green vines present out in the field. I think one of the most important messages that I could send to a grower, and a lot of really experienced growers are already aware of this, but it's important to adjust management practices during the season with the end of season in mind so that you can actually allow the crop to achieve physiological maturity within the growing window available in your particular area or region. And we know these growing areas vary quite a bit. I mean, if you're in southeastern Idaho, the length of the growing season is a lot shorter than what it is here in the Columbia Basin. And so it's critical that growers manage their inputs, nitrogen fertigation in particular, irrigation and other inputs, to allow the crop to fit its annual life cycle into the constraints of the growing season, and that includes allowing the crop to senesce, begin the process of senescence at the end of the season. Don't just keep shoving nitrogen on the crop and end up with a very green canopy at the end of the season and then basically kill it with desiccant, but allow the crop to fit its full annual life cycle within the constraints of the growing season. and the tubers then will achieve physiological maturity, and that goes a long way to allowing those tubers to hold process quality for the longest possible time in storage.
So what exactly constitutes tuber physiological maturity, and when does it occur during the crop development? You said it was at the end, obviously.
Yes. So if you look at the stages of crop growth and development, basically four stages. We've actually added a fifth stage, but everybody's familiar with these four stages. So you have emergence and plant establishment up front. Flowering and tuberization occurs about 45 to, say, 55 days into our season. Tuber bulking, that's when the crop is developing its yield. That's kind of the longest window during the growing season. And then foliar senescence and tuber maturation stage. And physiological maturity occurs in that final stage when the foliage is starting to senesce. The crop has actually hit maximum yield, and that's important to recognize. From a research point of view, we're really interested in factors that affect physiological maturity, and so we have to figure out, okay, how are we actually going to pinpoint it? And that requires that we define it in objective terms, and so we've defined physiological maturity so that we can measure it and look at the effects of various treatments management on physiological maturity. We've defined it as the average days after planting to reach maximum tuber yield, minimum sucrose in those tubers, maximum specific gravity, and minimum reducing sugars in the tubers, particularly in the stem ends of the tubers. And we want the tubers to get maximum specific gravity, maximum starch content, and drop their sucrose levels and reducing sugars and have that hit a minimum, and then along with the maximum tuber yield, those things come together to allow us to actually estimate when it occurs in the season. The timing of physiological maturity is going to vary by cultivar and season, particularly season interacting with the management inputs. And we recognize that growers, don't have the luxury of being able to measure all of those variables that I just rattled off about physiological maturity.
That's what I was thinking, Exic. How does this happen?
Yeah. So we've come up with really three criteria that growers can hone in on to estimate when a particular variety will hit physiological maturity. And those three criteria are days after planting. And many growers keep historical records, for a particular cultivar, and they've been in the business for a long time. So they kind of know about how long the crop is going to grow under their management scheme. The second factor is cumulative growing degree days from planting. And we track the growing degree days above the base temperature of 45 Fahrenheit. And here in the Columbia Basin, many of our cultivars are going to take about 3,000 or so growing degree days to reach that point. And then the most important factor in kind of a visual estimation of physiological maturity for a particular cultivar is the degree of vine senescence at season end. And that's the most important factor because it kind of takes in the interactions that you see that are unique to a particular season of the weather, interacting with the management that a particular grower is using. So some seasons we might have, a warmer fall or a warmer spring, and that kind of shifts development. But if you hone in on the degree of vine senescence at season end for the particular cultivar, that's a pretty good indicator of physiological maturity. And just to give you an example, we've finished 4 years of research with Clearwater Russet. And so using those three criteria, we can go out and we have told growers that, kind of in the central Columbia Basin, and this will vary depending upon where you're, the region of production, but in the central Columbia Basin for Clearwater, you can expect it to hit physiological maturity somewhere around 145 to 150 days after planting, after 3,000 growing degree days, and Clearwater grows quite late into the season, so the the vine growth will still be fairly active, and so you'll have about 40 to 50% green vines at physiological maturity. So we're not saying to harvest at physiological maturity, but to recognize that when it occurs, and then that dictates when you harvest. And specifically, we're saying harvest within about 10 to 18 days after physiological maturity. So if you're going to kill the vines at physiological maturity, harvest about 10 to 18 days after that. And of course, some growers are practicing the green vine harvest, as I've mentioned, so they can realize when physiological maturity occurs, and then harvest, you know, sometime after that.
Good information there. As a bonus for listeners, we are doing production pointers with Dr. Karen Shetty, also known as the Spud Doctor. We have selected a listener question for today. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Shetty. Today's question is, how can I avoid silver scurf from becoming a problem during storage?
Silver scurf is caused by a fungus called Helminthosporium salanae. It causes a certain type of blemish on the outside skin of the potato. It's an important problem in the channels of the fresh market segment of the potato industry, although it can cause some challenges when you peel these potatoes in the processing line itself. This problem begins as a seed-borne problem. Silver scurf management should begin with the selection of good certified seed. Seed treatment such as Cruzamax Vibrance is effective against minimizing the seed-borne problem. The infection of the seed silver scurf can begin in the soil during growth and development of the tubers. Therefore, under high-risk situations, it is important to consider an in-furrow fungicide application like Elatus. In most cases, the problem associated with silver increases during potato storages. Syngenta has introduced a post-harvest product called Stadium to minimize the spread of silver scurf when the potatoes are in storage. The success of using post-harvest products to reduce silver scurf has to be integrated with proper storage management procedures. Stadium is registered for use on potatoes. Make sure to follow all the label instructions when you use the product, and also check with your processors to see that the product is approved for export.
All right, Dr. Shetty, thank you for that tip. Now back to the podcast. Let's talk about the consequences of over maturation, leaving the crop in the ground too long before going into storage. What are the consequences and problems with that?
Yeah, so that's where you can really get into trouble depending upon the cultivar. Some cultivars are more sensitive to being left in the field than others. And basically what it comes down to, remember, physiological maturity is when the tubers have naturally been able to achieve maximum gravity within the constraints of the growing season and low reducing sugar, glucose, and fructose content in the tubers. After physiological maturity, what we see for most of the cultivars that we've studied, and we've studied many, the mainstay cultivars as well as newly released cultivars, is that there's this very notable upswing in reducing sugars in the tubers. So the concentration starts to increase after physiological maturity, particularly in the stem end of the tubers. And that's an indicator of advancing tuber age. And this, if you wait too long, this upswing continues and it can actually result in sugar ends coming out of the field. More often than not, you don't really see a problem in process quality coming out of the field, although you can, depending upon the season. But what you've done in waiting too long is you've brought tubers in of advanced physiological age into storage, And so those sugar ends will develop a little bit earlier in storage, or you'll see a general buildup in reducing sugars evenly through the tuber earlier than normal in storage. And of course, that's going to negatively affect the process quality. You won't get the longevity of the tubers in storage that you normally would if you would have harvested them before substantial upswing in those reducing sugars. And so basically what it comes down to is once the crop hits physiological maturity, you wait about 10 to 18 days after that and you harvest. Any longer, and basically you're storing those tubers in the ground. And that subjects those tubers, you know, if you think of tubers under the soil, their temperature is going up and down with the soil temperature on a daily basis. So they're subject to the diurnal fluctuation in soil temperature. And we've measured that. It ranges in our area of anywhere from about 50 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit on a daily cycle.
In the spud itself?
I'm sorry?
In the spud itself?
Yeah, in the spud itself. So basically those tubers are under the soil, they're under dead vines. That soil temperature is cycling between 50 and 70 degrees Fahrenheit on a 24-hour basis. And it's that cycling temperature that actually accelerates the aging of tubers. I mean, if you think about it, you know, for a grower, they wouldn't even consider that bringing tubers into storage and subjecting them to a cycling temperature, right? So by waiting too long, those tubers are seeing that cycling temperature for a long period of time. That advances their physiological age. And then if you bring tubers of advanced physiological age into storage, they're going to mobilize their starch reserves earlier than normal, and that's going to impinge the process quality. So prolonged maturation under dead vines results in physiologically older tubers coming into storage. They're going to build up reducing sugars earlier than expected, and you're going to suffer a loss in processing quality prematurely in storage. It could manifest as sugar ends or otherwise unacceptable fry color, uniform fry color because of glucose buildup.
So let's shift focus here a little bit and talk about preventing disease loss in storage and how to ensure maximum quality in storage.
Well, I think one of the basic things that growers need to do and be aware of is that they need to have clean equipment, right? So you got to make sure your harvesting equipment, your trucks, your bin pilers, and your storages have been adequately cleaned and disinfected. And that's just basic tenet of good post-harvest handling and storage. That's going to reduce your disease, go a long way to limiting disease in storage. Second thing is maybe growers need to make sure that the tubers have had the opportunity to set their skins as much as possible in the field prior to harvesting and harvest within, like I say, 10 to 18 days of physiological maturity. You know, some of those tubers won't have completed skin set, and that means that you need to take the necessary steps to minimize mechanical damage during harvesting. So, you know, you want to make sure that you adjust your harvester. You want to minimize black spot and shatter bruise, cuts, skinning, the potential for cuts and skinning and so forth during the harvesting operation. That's going to go a long way to eliminating the, you know, infection route for many pathogens. You also want to harvest at the ideal pulp temperature. 50 to 65 degree Fahrenheit tuber pulp temperature is ideal. With regard to mechanical damage, just, you know, the bruise, this is where growers really have a golden opportunity to maximize returns or profits by maintaining bruise free. So you got to make sure your harvester has been tuned, adjusted for minimum bruise, your drop heights and all of that have been minimized, and even during the piling operation into storage. Pulp temperatures are important for minimizing bruise and facilitating the initial temperature control as the tubers come into storage. So, you know, your target storage temperature up front in the, during the storage season is going to be dictated by the wound healing temperature, and that's going to be around 55 degrees. And so if you can harvest the tubers at 50 to 65 degrees Fahrenheit pulp temperature, that's good for minimizing bruise, both shatter as well as black spot. And then also it's close to the temperature that you're going to have to try to set during the initial storage period. Tubers harvested from cold and wet soils are really, really susceptible to bruising. They're more difficult to cure, and they're more prone to breakdown in storage. On the other hand, you know, if a grower goes out and harvests when the temperature is too warm, maybe we have a warm spell in the fall, high pulp temperatures, you know, 65 to 70 degrees, upwards of 70 degrees, are going to render the tubers highly susceptible to breakdown due to bacterial soft rot and or Pythium leek and other organisms as well. So pulp temperatures are critical for kind of minimizing a disease potential. The other thing, you know, that you want to do, or that you don't want to do, I guess, is bring wet tubers into storage. So you want to avoid harvesting during periods of rain. Wet tubers are disastrous. They set up the environment, or, you know, the water film around a tuber can create a biofilm of where disease organisms, soft rot organisms, and other disease organisms can really gain access to the tuber, especially through, you know, the damage that occurs during harvesting. Because no matter how careful we are, there's always going to be this base level of damage in these tubers coming into storage. You also don't want to bring diseased or frost-damaged tubers into storage. So, you know, if you have to, hopefully you'll have a healthy crop and you won't have to deal with that. But more often than not, every year, there's you know, circles that are coming out that have a significant amount of decay in them.
Right.
So growers need to be prepared to shuck out funds to pay people to actually cull out any rot during harvesting and piling. But it's better, obviously, you know, if you don't have to store those tubers, take them right to the processor.
Right.
During the storage operation, you want to establish and maintain good airflow as you're loading the storage, you know, 20 to 25 cubic feet per minute per ton with high humidity. That's going to remove the field heat and stabilize the pile temperature. And a real critical rule is, you know, the temperature difference across the pile, the delta T, for the incoming supply air versus the return air. It should be less than or equal to 2 degrees Fahrenheit to minimize shrink and weight loss. Another factor is you don't want to ventilate with humidified air warmer than the tubers. Right. If you do that, you're going to get condensation on the tubers, yep. And that's going to create the environment for biofilms and decay. Once the tubers are in storage, then you got to think about the initial phase of storage, and that's the wound healing period. And so, you know, again, no matter how careful growers are, there's always going to be this basal level of damage that has occurred during the harvesting and handling and piling operation. And so you want to maintain a temperature of about 55 degrees Fahrenheit, 55 to 60 in practice, and high relative humidity. That's going to facilitate rapid wound healing for the initial 3 to 4 weeks in storage, and then start to ramp down the temperature slowly for processing potatoes, about 2 to 3 degrees Fahrenheit per week. If you ramp it down quickly, some varieties will see that as a stress and begin to build up reducing sugars that are going to negatively impact process quality. But you ramp it down slowly till you get to your holding temperature, and that's going to be dictated by the variety. For varieties that are sensitive to low temperature sweetening, the holding temperature target is going to be somewhere around 48 degrees Fahrenheit. For varieties that are resistant to cold sweetening, you can go lower, maybe down as low as around 44 degrees Fahrenheit, 45 degrees Fahrenheit. for a variety like perhaps Clearwater Russet or some of the other varieties that are resistant to low temperature sweetening. If decay is present, you got a wound heal at a lower temperature. So it's kind of a trade-off, right? So if you got a significant amount of decay coming in storage, you need to make sure the tubers are dry, but you want a wound heal at a temperature of about 50 degrees Fahrenheit to slow down the spread of the pathogen. So those are some of the factors that the growers need to be aware of in setting up, you know, the storage for maximum, setting up the tubers and storage for maximum longevity.
All right. Well, you have given us a lot to digest here and some excellent tips. And so growers, watch your pulp temperatures and harvest when it's dry. Watch humidity levels. What else can we just quickly summarize?
Watch your temperatures. Get your delta T right. When you're cooling the pile, again, less than or equal to 2 degrees Fahrenheit, get the crop through the wound healing period at high relative humidity, which is going to avoid shrink if you have significant shrink. Because you use the wrong humidity, then that's going to lead to pressure bruise later in storage. So you want to get that right. And then, you know, slowly bring the ramp the temperature down. I guess one of the biggest factors is make sure that you're moving tubers into a clean storage, right? So you don't want to start cleaning your storage, as the tubers are arriving or being harvested in the field. You need to set the storage up and disinfect it all and make sure it's clean, and then bring tubers that are relatively healthy into the storage, and you should be in good shape. Harvest at physiological or shortly after physiological maturity, and those tubers will have the longest, will be able to be stored for the longest period and maintain the longest process quality out of storage possible for the particular cultivar.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, and you've given us a lot of great information, Dr. Knowles, and we appreciate your time today on the Potato Podcast.
Thank you so much, Dave.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only, and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of Columbia Media Group or its affiliates.